Beautiful and beautifully done. Take your Bibles tonight. Let's go to the book of John, please. The book of John, chapter number 19. And if you are K-4 through third grade, you are dismissed. You'll be heading out there with my wife to my left. You're right there. And she'll be taking care of y'all tonight. I know we have the Lord's Supper and we have the teen snack. So I'll preach fast, read fast, you listen fast. And we'll just have a good time. We're going to have a good time. All right, John chapter number 19. When you find that, if you're physically able to, would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? John chapter number 19, verse number 38. The Word of God says, "And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in the linen clothes with the spices, and the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulchre, wherein there never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus. Therefore, because of the Jews, preparation day for the sepulchre was nigh at hand." Our Heavenly Father, we are gathered here together to hear from you tonight. I pray, Lord, I pray, God, that you will speak. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. It is a great privilege to preach here tonight, and I'm thankful for it. I thank Pastor Monty that he has allowed me to be with him, to serve with him, even though he said he could squash me like a bug. Yeah, I heard that. I left. I went out to junior church just to check, and then somebody told me that he said he could squash me like a bug. I'll be kind tonight, and y'all let him know that I was kind. I was very kind. John chapter number 19, this is the end of the crucifixion. This is the after Jesus Christ has obeyed him, made himself obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He has undergone the most cruel death that any human has ever undergone. And he did all that for you and for me. And it was time for him to be taken off the cross. And we find two men. We have Joseph of Arimathea, and we have a man named Nicodemus. And they brought Jesus off the cross. They have wrapped him in the linen. They have prepared the spices. They have done everything according to the culture of the Jews to bury him. And they take him to a place that's not too far from Golgotha. They take him to a very special place. They take him to a garden. And so for a few moments tonight, I want to speak about the garden. This is not the very first time in Scripture that we have seen a garden. Gardens are mentioned in Scripture periodically. And every time that they are mentioned, and especially every time that there is a story, an account of Scripture that is wrapped in that scene and in that scenario, there's something very special about that garden. The very first garden that we see is in Genesis chapter number 3. In Genesis chapter 3, God is creating all of mankind. He has created all the beasts. He has created the earth. He's created the atmosphere. And he said it was very good. And on the seventh day, he rested. And now began the relationship between God Almighty and mankind. In the garden, it was a perfect scene. It was a perfect place for Adam and his wife Eve to grow together, to be fruitful and to multiply. It was an amazing place for them to experience the creation of God. It was the most incredible place, the most beautiful place you could ever imagine. This was the Garden of Eden. And in the Garden of Eden, in Genesis chapter 3, if you flip over there, I'm going to flip over there real quick. Genesis chapter number 3. The Bible tells us that in the garden there was something very special that God wanted to do with Adam and with Eve in this garden. Whether it's the garden in Genesis that we're looking at now, or the garden in Genesis chapter number, in Matthew chapter number 26, or the garden in John chapter number 20, All three have a very similar purpose. In all three of these gardens, there is the presence of God Almighty. The presence of God Almighty was with God Himself in the Garden of Eden. The presence of God in Matthew chapter number 26 is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also the same in John chapter number 20. Every time that there is a garden, there is the presence of God. But it's not just that. It's not just a garden in the presence of God, but there's also mankind. At the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 3, God was establishing something between Him and us, between Him and His creation, mankind. He was establishing a desire to have a relationship with you and with me. Yes, God could have created the heavens and the earth and created the seas and the land and created mankind and then just simply sat on His throne and let us do whatever it is that we wanted to do and be whatever it is that we wanted to be. But there was a purpose. There was a divine purpose for it all. It was to have a relationship with you. And that divine purpose has not ceased from the heart of God. He desires with every bit, with every heartbeat that He has to have a relationship with you. God is not somebody that is so far off and so high and so lofty that He has nothing to do with us little human peons. No, He desires to have a walk with you. This walk, number one, the garden, is where you develop your walk with Christ. The garden is where you develop your walk with Christ. It becomes the very establishment. In Genesis chapter number 3, the Bible mentions in verse number 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. This was something that God was capable of doing. He was able to walk in this garden to be with Adam and to be with Eve. And for the sake of illustration and for understanding what this garden is, the garden is a sanctified gathering place for the believers of Jesus Christ to have communion with God. The garden is a sanctified gathering place for the body of Christ to have a holy communion with God. Of everything that we have in this world, we do have the Word of God with us, and we do have the Holy Spirit with us. But there is something also that God has given to the body, to the bride of Christ, and it is the church. And I thank God for the church. I thank God that we don't all have to live our separate lives and be Christians and then never find out who else is a Christian until the day that Jesus Christ calls us home. I'm so glad that there is a sanctified place where we come from all different walks of life, every different type of career you can imagine. We come from this background and that background. We all have different stories. We all have different testimonies. But when we come together in this place, we are all under the blood of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, rich or poor, big or small, all because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we have come to this sanctified place where we can have a holy communion with God. This is the garden. And what a beautiful place it is. I remember growing up in North Carolina where my dad, he was going to college and studying to be in the ministry. And one of the things that he wanted to do was grow a garden. And one thing parents never do when they decide to grow a garden is consult the children. And I think that's a good idea, parents. Talk to your kids and see if they really want a garden. Because once the dad or, you know, once he gets that plow out, he doesn't stop. He doesn't know where the end is. And I remember my dad, he had his plow out and he was just going back and forth, back and forth. And we're watching this garden grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. And we're like, oh, this is going to be great. No, it's not. Because Saturday morning comes around, get up, boys, go pick some weeds. And we're like, oh. And rows and rows and rows of weeds. I remember that garden. I remember the corn that we would run through. I remember the peppers we would pick off and eat. I remember the cucumbers, the watermelons. I remember all of it. But I remember, even though it was so beautiful and even though it was so diverse in what it could produce, I knew that there were weeds. Even though the garden was amazing, and even though the garden was so fruitful and wonderful, and I know how wonderful church is, and I know how beautiful church is, but sometimes there's weeds. Not only weeds, but there's sometimes little critters, these little worms that get up on those leaves, and we had the responsibility to flick them or squish them, whatever our choice was. And what if we go and we look at the garden and say, Dad, the garden's a waste of time. There's so many imperfections in that garden. There's so many worms in that garden. There's so many weeds in that garden. Dad, it's just not worth it. Do you know what my dad would say? He would say, son, stop looking at the weeds. Start looking at the fruit. Son, don't worry about the worms. Those worms will come and go. You can take care of the worms. It's the fruit that we're after. And though there will never, ever be a perfect church, because you're going to be in that church and we all have problems. And we're all just a big group of people that have just a big bunch of problems. And I'm so thankful for that. There's not one person here sitting in the pew in front of you, beside you, or behind you that has life by the horns. And they just got it. They've got it made. No issues, no problems, none whatsoever. This is a house full of problems. But you know what? We have a master gardener. We have somebody who can take every single problem that you've ever endured in your entire life. He can pluck out every weed. He can squish every worm. And he can produce the most perfect fruit in you and me. The fruit of the Spirit. The love, the joy, the peace, and the long-suffering, and the gentleness, and the goodness, and the faith, and the meekness, and the temperance. That's the fruit that the Holy Spirit is after. And that's in the garden. But the garden is this place, is this church, when we are gathering together, it is a wonderful place to establish your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. The establishment, this is the establishment for the direction of our walk with Christ. When you come to church and when you join yourselves with this group of believers, it doesn't mean that you are born again. Church does not get you into heaven. There is only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It is only by the blood of Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Church does not get you to heaven. What gets you to heaven is by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The gift of the garden, though, is where you can establish your direction in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we have our responsibilities, as did Adam. God told Adam when he made him, he didn't say, Adam, all you got to do is just walk, man. It's going to be great. You don't have to do anything. All we're going to do is walk and talk and walk and talk and walk and talk. No, Adam had responsibilities. Adam had a job. Adam was supposed to take care of the garden. He was supposed to name all those animals, and who knows how long that took. He had responsibilities. He had a job. But when the cool of the day came, I don't know if this was an evening cool, the cool wind of the evening that would go through the garden, that God would come through at that particular time. I don't know if it was at the end of the week. I don't know if it was every day. But I know that when the cool of the day came, all work stopped because it was time to walk with Jesus. And I'm so thankful that even though some of our jobs and responsibilities do take us from church service on the occasion, that when it comes time to the house of God, we have a place to come to. I'm so thankful that I'm not in the office right now. I'm so thankful that I don't have to worry about bills. I don't have to worry about my car. I don't have to worry about my finances. I get to work on my walk with Christ in the garden. This was the desire of God. The garden is where you develop. The garden is where you develop your walk with Christ. And then, secondly, number two, the garden is where you learn more of the heart of God. Let's go to the book of Matthew, the New Testament book of Matthew, chapter number 26. Matthew chapter number 26. And verse number 36. Matthew chapter number 26 and verse 36, the Bible says, Then cometh Jesus with them, he's speaking of his disciples, unto a place called Gethsemane. and saith unto the disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. See, Jesus was from the country, y'all. Okay, he said yonder. All right, I just want to let y'all know. Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Verse 38, then saith he unto them, my soul, this is Jesus speaking to those disciples, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Verse 39, and he went a little farther. And he fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. This same account given to us in the book of John tells us that this particular garden, this Garden of Gethsemane, was a place that Jesus would frequently retreat to. This garden is a place where you will develop not only your walk with Christ, but you will also learn more of the heart of God. It is vitally important that we find ourselves in the gathering place of God's people, because there is a supernatural gift, which is the gift of the church to the believers, about knowing more of Jesus Christ, to taking your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ to the next level, learning more about his love, learning more about who he is, going a little farther with Jesus Christ. It is not just sufficient in the eyes of God to be born again and live the life that you want to. It is not just sufficient in the eyes of God to be called a Christian and not do anything to develop your relationship with Jesus Christ. Why? Because at the very heart of God, at the every heartbeat of God, is the desire for him to be with you. It is amazing that God Almighty wants to be with me. You know, I'm a sinner. I'm a good sinner. I do it all the time, and it breaks my heart that this is what God has to work with. But he does that because he loves me. And he does that because he loves you. There's nowhere in Scripture where it says, be ye perfect, and then I shall bless thee. It says, come unto me, all ye that are laden and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. You see, it is in this place where we develop our walk with the Lord. It is in this garden is where we learn more of the heart of God. Yes, I have the Holy Scriptures, and I could stay at my house, and I could seclude myself, and I could just study the Bible there all by myself. But there is a special gift. There is a special revelation of the love of God to his people when they come into this garden. Why? Because they see God, and they experience it a little bit more, and they go a little farther. We have Sunday school. Why do we have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m.? And we have coffee connection time, and we have all these different things. Why? Because we know that God wants to take your relationship with him a little bit farther. We have a Sunday morning service at, what time is that? Sorry, 10:30? 10:30. We have 10:30. Why do we do that sort of thing? Why do we last an hour and a half here? Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to take your relationship with him a little bit farther. We have Sunday evening service that starts at 6 o'clock. Why do we do this? Because our God wants to see you take your relationship just a little bit farther, because there's more that you'll see of Christ when you decide that you want to go a little deeper with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when God, when Jesus was in this garden, he was with all of the disciples, but then he took a select three, Peter, James, and John, and he began to share with them something that he didn't share with the other disciples. At this point in Matthew chapter number 26, not all the disciples are there with him. They are perhaps having their own prayer meeting or whatever they're doing. They're just waiting on him. But Jesus has taken Peter, James, and John, and he has taken them a little further into the garden, and he has shared with them some very deep feelings. He has gone a little bit farther in his revelation of himself to Peter, James, and John. Jesus says, My soul is exceeding sorrowful. The Bible says that he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. When you decide that you want to see, you want to go a little farther with the Lord Jesus Christ, you want to go a little more, you want to see more of the Lord Jesus Christ, God will reveal more of himself to you. You see, Jesus is inexhaustible. His word is inexhaustible. You'll never come to the point in your life where you have what you need from Jesus and you're good. Oh, Jesus is ever expressing himself. Jesus is ever revealing himself to you and to me. Why? Because we don't know what tomorrow may bring forth. I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow, and he holds my hand. The garden. This is why I love church. This is why I get up every Sunday morning. By the way, this is not a work day for me. This is a worship day for me. Okay? All the deacons, all the Sunday school teachers, we can get so consumed with the responsibilities. We have one responsibility, and that's to bring glory to God. Oh, yes, we have the teaching and the preaching and all the singing and the choir members. We have all very, very busy. But we have one purpose, and that's to bring glory to God. And that's what takes place in the garden. That's what takes place here. In the garden is where we develop our walk with Christ. And in this garden is where we learn more of the heart of God. And then number three, the garden is where you'll bear witness of the magnitude of God's glory. Turn over to John chapter number 20, our original passage there in the book of John. Chapter number 20 and verse number 16. Or verse number 11. John chapter 20, verse number 11. The Bible says, "But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. As she wept and stood down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head of the and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto the woman, Why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. It was in the garden, this garden where he was laid, that the greatest demonstration of the glory of God was revealed. A lot of us, a lot of people assume that they can come to church and they can sit down and just spectate and just and say, all right, Lord, let's see what you're going to do today. I have all these problems and I have all this and I want you to come and fix them. We all want to experience the glory of God. But if you haven't understood the very first garden about establishing your walk with Christ, if you haven't understood yet the second garden where you develop and you learn more of the heart of God, you have yet to experience the magnitude of the glory of God in the garden. You see, there wasn't Peter, James in the garden. There wasn't the disciples in the garden. There was one lady. Her name was Mary. There was one person who followed Christ. There was one person who established and developed her walk with Christ. There was one person who learned more of the heart of God. And there was one person who got to experience and bear witness of the magnitude of the glory of God. It completely changed her life. And I want to say, when you experience the glory of God for yourself personally in this garden, it will change your life. I remember several years ago, I was struggling, spiritually struggling. I felt like I was at an all-time low. And I was assuming, I was just going through the motions. It was the same old, and I knew I needed help. I knew I needed someone to help me get out of this pit, get out of this rut. And we had a very special group come to the church, and they were singing, and I had already bad intentions. I was just not caring. I didn't care about the singing group. I didn't care about the songs. And then all of a sudden, they began to sing a song, and that song had the touch of God on it, unlike any song I've ever heard before. And from the very back row, the glory of God came down upon my life, and I felt like I was in a pit. I felt like I was going to go down. I felt like my life was absolutely crushing down upon me. Yes, I wore the suit. Yes, I wore the tie. Yes, I smiled. I made it look good, but deep within my heart, I really needed God, and there was only one place where I could experience the magnitude of the glory of God, and that was in that garden. And that song came, and the glory of God was revealed to me, and I wept, and I praised, and I walked, and I stumbled all the way to the altar where God revealed just how good He is. And I've been to a lot of churches. I've been in a lot of church services. And I want to tell you, there's no place like church. There's no place greater to find redemption. There's no place greater to find freedom. There's no place greater than find the healing that you so desperately need. I want to say, when you come to church and you expect to see the magnitude of God's glory, there is no hurt that He cannot heal. There is no wound that He cannot bind. There is no relationship that He cannot restore. There is no chain that He cannot break. There is no ditch that is too far deep. There is no valley that is too far gone. You are not too far gone for Christ, because here in this garden, you can experience the glory of God, and He can do only what God can do for you in the garden, in this place. This is an amazing place. Faith Baptist Church is an amazing place. Oh, not but just because of the furniture and the lights. It's because all of us have experienced the glory of God. All of us have experienced the redemptive power of God. All of us knows what it feels like, and knows how it feels like to know the love of Christ. This garden is where you bear witness of the magnitude of the glory of God. But wait, Pastor Ryan, I hate to tell you this, but your whole picture of the garden and the church just won't work. Because in Genesis chapter 3, even though everything was great, even though Adam was there, there was something slithering. I hate to tell you, preacher, but this whole idea, this whole picture of the garden, it's just not going to fly. Because there's snakes in the garden. In Genesis chapter 3, there is a snake in the garden. In Matthew chapter 26, there's a snake in the garden. In Genesis 3, his name's the devil. Matthew 26, his name is Judas. But I want to tell you, in John chapter number 20, there is no devil. In John chapter number 20, there is no Judas. Because when the glory of God touches down on somebody's life, it doesn't matter how hard the devil may have a hold on their life. When the glory of God touches them, when the power of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ breaks through that heart, there is nothing that the devil can do about it. Absolutely nothing. And I look at this group of young people, I see them over here in this section, and I see them over there in the youth group, and I want to tell you, the devil ain't got them all. There's some over here whom the devil doesn't have. I know that the Lord Jesus Christ has them safe in their hands. Why? Because this is something that they experience in the garden. I'm so thankful for the garden. I'm so thankful for this place. I'm so glad that I have a place to come to where I can get alone with Christ with other believers. I don't come here to see what people can do for me. I come here broken. I come here heavy. I come here wounded. I come here imperfect. I come to this garden needing God. I come to this garden weak and in need of His strength. I come to this garden as a fool in need of His wisdom. I come to this garden lonely, needing a friend. And every time I come, He's there. Every time I come to this garden, He's there. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. Oh, why do I get so excited about Sundays? Why do I get so excited about Wednesdays and revival meetings and all these other meetings that we may have here? Because this is more opportunity to come to the garden to see the glory of God. I want to encourage you tonight, as the Lord Jesus Christ did, and He being our great example, oftentimes come to the garden. Oftentimes come to the garden. As many times as your schedule would allow, come to the garden. As often as you can, even so much more, as you see the day approaching, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Come to the garden. God has something very special for us here at the garden. It's a place where you can develop your walk with Christ. This is a place where you can learn more of the heart of God. And this is a place where you will bear witness of the magnitude of God's glory. It doesn't matter how you come in. It doesn't matter how you come into this garden. It all matters on who you look to. You can look for the snakes and you'll find them. You'll look for the weeds and you'll find them. You can look for the worms and you'll find them. But above all, if you look for Christ, He'll satisfy. If you look for Christ, you'll see Him. If you look for Christ, He'll be there. If you look for Christ in the songs, look for Christ in the fellowship, look for Christ in the nursery, look for Christ in the Sunday school, I promise you it'll take away the stresses, Sunday school teachers, deacons, and all others with responsibilities. It will take away the stresses of Sunday school when all we got to do is look for Christ. You come broken, He'll mend you. You come wounded, and He'll heal you. That's what happens when you come into the garden. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. Thank You for Your help. Now, Father, I know in my heart what a garden means to me. I know what church means to me. The things that I have seen You do, what You have done for me in my life and in the life of my family, I know what can happen in the garden. But, Father, there may be people here who have been hurt by other churches. There may be people here who have doubts about church itself. But, oh Father, if they would just look for You, if they would just look for You, with every head bowed and every eye closed, and I do want to encourage you, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior,